A dozen vessels sailed in my command, and to each crew 9 goats were shared out, and mine alone took 10. Then all day long, till the sun went down, we sat and feasted well on sides of meat and rounds of heady wine. The good red stock in our vessel's holds had not run out, there was still plenty left. The men had carried off a generous store in jars when we stormed and sacked the Ciconi's holy city. Now we stared across at the Cyclops' shore. So near we could even see their smoke, hear their voices, their bleating sheep and goats. And then when the sun had set and night came on, we lay down and slept at the water's shelving edge. When young Dawn with her rose-red fingers shone once more, I called a muster briskly, commanding all the hands. The rest of you stay here, my friends in arms. I'll go across with my own ship and crew and probe the natives living over there. What are they, violent, savage, lawless, or friendly to strangers, God-fearing men? With that I boarded ship and told the crew to embark at once and cast off cables quickly. They swung aboard, they sat to the oars in ranks, and in rhythm churned the water white with stroke on stroke. But as soon as we reached the coast I mentioned, no long trip, we spied a cavern, just at the shore, gaping above the surf, towering, overgrown with laurel, and here big flocks, sheep and goats, were stalled to spend the nights. And around its mouth a yard was walled up, with quarried boulders sunk deep in the earth, and enormous pines and oak trees looming darkly. Here was a giant's lair, in fact, who always pastured his sheep flocks far afield, and never mixed with others, a grim loner, dead set in his own lawless ways. Here was a piece of work, by God, a monster, built like no mortal who ever supped on bread. No, like a shaggy peak, I'd say, a man-mountain, rearing head and shoulders over the world. Now then, I told most of my good trusty crew to wait, to sit tight by the ship and guard her well, while I picked out my dozen finest fighters and off I went. But I took a skin of wine along, the ruddy, irresistible wine that Maron gave me once. Euanthes' son, a priest of Apollo, lord of Ismarus, because we'd rescued him, his wife and children, reverent as we were. He lived, you see, in Apollo's holy grove, and so in return he gave me splendid gifts. He handed me 7 bars of well-wrought gold, a mixing bowl of solid silver, then this wine. He drew it off in generous wine jars, 12 in all unmixed, and such a bouquet, a drink fit for the gods. No maid or man of his household knew that secret store, only himself, his loving wife, and a single infant. Whenever they drink the deep red mellow vintage, 20 cups of water he'd stir in one of wine, and what an aroma wafted from the bowl, what magic, what a godsend. No joy in holding back when that was poured. Filling a great goatskin now, I took this wine, provisions too, in a leather sack. A sudden foreboding told my fighting spirit I'd soon come up against some giant, clad in power like armor plate, a savage, deaf to justice, blind to law. Our party quickly made its way to his cave, but we failed to find our host himself inside. He was off in his pasture, ranging his sleek flocks. So we explored his den, gazing wide-eyed at it all, the large flat racks loaded with drying cheeses, the folds crowded with young lambs and kids, split into 3 groups, here the spring-born, here mid-yearlings, here the fresh sucklings off to the side, each sort was penned apart. And all his vessels, pails and hammered buckets he used for milking, were brimming full with whey. From the start my comrades pressed me, pleading hard, "Let's make away with the cheeses, then come back. Hurry, drive the lambs and kids from the pens to our swift ship. Put out to sea at once." But I would not give way. And how much better it would have been. Not till I saw him, saw what gifts he'd give. But he proved no lovely sight to my companions. There we built a fire, set our hands on the cheeses, offered some to the gods, and ate the bulk ourselves, and settled down inside, awaiting his return. And back he came from pasture, late in the day, herding his flocks home and lugging a huge load of good dry logs to fuel his fire at supper. He flung them down in the cave, a jolting crash. We